It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
And Aggies?
Yeah.
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, so here you go. The Jazz, Timberwolves, Lakers in conversations. Nothing official as of yet. I don't anticipate you'll see Mike Conley walking over to the other side of the bench, putting on a Timberwolves jersey and playing for the Wolves tonight, as the Jazz and Wolves coming up later this evening. But the Lakers, Jazz, and Timberwolves in discussions. It's a three-team trade. And again, there's going to be a lot of other moving pieces to this, but ultimately what you're seeing will be D'Angelo Russell going to the Lakers, Russell Westbrook and draft compensation coming to Utah, and Mike Conley going to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, in terms of Russell Westbrook, I know there's some people like, oh, that'll be a fun fit in that locker room. I wouldn't plan on that. I think Russell Westbrook will be bought out and will be sent on his way so he can latch on to another team to try to wreck their locker room. So I don't anticipate you will see Russell Westbrook playing in the black and gold for the Utah Jazz.
So just a broader picture look at this potential trade that's being swirled about by a couple of the big insiders out there. This is going to be a long-term gain and a short-term loss for the Utah Jazz.
Yep.
Just so everybody's understanding this, the Utah Jazz aren't moving to win right now. They're moving to gain assets, and they're moving to make a big move so that they can win big later. And that's what this looks like for the Utah Jazz. Moving Mike Conley out, Malik Beasley. I know that these are a couple of guys that have become fan favorites.
Yep.
I think Malik Beasley's done a really good job of shaking his way in. And
well, I mean that shimmy that Lloyd's a huge fan of.
Yeah, Lloyd loves the shimmy. Lloyd does the shimmy, and it's kind of fun to watch him.
Yeah.
Lloyd's got the moves, man.
I know. I mean, the dude can shake it.
Mike Conley and Malik have become fan favorites. I know Vanderbilt, I know his name, has been associated a couple of times. People love him, too. He's a workhorse. Solid players, but just understand that this move would absolutely be a short-term loss, but a long-term gain.
Which is exactly what we expected. Yep. This would be.
And just keep your fingers crossed, because Shams did throw in that they're trying to work on draft protections. Keep your fingers crossed that any draft pick that comes from the Lakers past 2026 is an unprotected pick. That's what you're looking for.
Yep. And by the way, Ben Anderson, with an interesting note here, and it obviously makes sense. If Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt are involved in the trade, they would have to be going to the Lakers, because they came from Minnesota. You have to wait another year before you trade to another team. So, maybe we can see if Ben can hop on with us at 2:30, Lloyd, and, get his perspective on what's going down. But joining us now, Kurt Heelan from NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com, joining us, and, always a favorite of ours. But Kurt, your bird's eye view of this one is it appears that Mike Conley might be on his way to Minnesota, D'Angelo Russell to LA, and the Jazz with Russell Westbrook and some picks out of the thing.
Yeah. I'm curious how many picks and exactly what goes on. I know there's talk about Is Vanderbilt part of this? Some Beasley, maybe. I'm sure the Lakers would like as much as they can get out of this as they try to reshape the roster. And they might be willing to look. I mean, it was a lot of fun in the building last night, and it was a great show. And I'm happy for LeBron. It was, you know, we could talk about all that. They lost, man. They lost again. They are 5 games below 500 with a pretty good Bucks team that's won 8 in a row, about to show up tomorrow night. They need to shake things up fast. The West, nobody's run away with it, but they're squandering LeBron's age 38 season. They've got to do something. So it makes sense for the Lakers. The Jazz, you get a couple of picks, which is what they'd want, and I imagine you just buy Westbrook out. You know, what's the point of keeping him around to have that positive influence on the younger generation? Like, I think you just buy him out, let him be a free agent.
You know, Kurt, it's kind of weird looking at the Lakers right now because, let's say you're driving a new car and there's something wrong with the engine, radiator goes out and it's overheating. You don't go buy a new set of tires for that car in that moment to make it better. And I kind of feel like that's what D'Angelo Russell is. I feel like there's a broken something in that Lakers locker room, whether it's Anthony Davis not wanting to celebrate with LeBron, or maybe Anthony Davis is just having a down season or isn't able to find his mojo. It just feels like there's something broken, and it doesn't feel like adding new tires and D'Angelo Russell is going to help it.
Yeah, he's an upgrade. Don't get me wrong, because he's better right now than where Russell Westbrook is in his career. But, yeah, ultimately, I think the flaw in the Lakers' plan was when they won this title, when we won the bubble title, I should say, yeah, we all talked about, they had this 3-and-D players everywhere, and the Alex Carusos of the world, where they could put these guys around LeBron and Anthony Davis who were elite. But the difference was LeBron in the bubble was top 3 player in the world, if not the best player in the world. Like, he was as good or better than anybody in the bubble. And Anthony Davis was maybe the best defender and top 10 player in the bubble. And when those two guys were going at that level, then having nice role players around them could work. As those guys have declined, they have not been able to transition to finding a more ball handling and shot creation to ease their burden while keeping the role players good. And it's just gotten messy. And I'm with you. You bring in D'Angelo Russell, that's an upgrade, but it's not. I just can't picture this team, even in this kind of flattened out West, making some kind of run where they win 2 or 3 playoff series.
Oh, but it might also include Beasley or Vanderbilt, So yeah, I'm sure that gets them over the top.
Vanderbilt would help. Vanderbilt's good. I would be happy to get Vanderbilt. Any team. I know there's a lot of teams from Portland on down. I know there's a lot of teams calling about Vanderbilt. He is the kind of team player a whole lot of. So is Beasley, but Vanderbilt's been a hot name lately, and for good reason.
Yeah.
So, Kurt, talk to us a little bit about this, because Shams posted on the back end of his report, he said that they are currently working on draft protections or draft pick protections. Do you think we're going to see a trade where Danny Ainge had to give up a top 10 or a lottery protection to the LA Lakers in this transition?
I think that that is part of the discussion. I can't imagine. I would want that thing unprotected, or, anything beyond top 3 or top 4, I'm not interested in. And frankly, it depends on what other suitors I have for Conley. I might be very interested in just moving on, you know? I mean, just if I've got other options for my Conley, and I would imagine they might, then I don't know if I need to take the protections back. It just kind of depends on what else is out there. I will say, though, the way this Laker organization is run, those 2027, 2029 picks, and they'd have to be 2027. You couldn't put protections on 29. The 2027 picks got real value because they could be back to rebuilding an awful by then.
Kurt Helin from NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com joining us right here on the Zone. All right, so from Minnesota's perspective, Mike Conley gives them a bit of an adult in the room, in that locker room. How much better do they, how much improvement does that help them in their hopes of, trying to bring some momentum into the playoffs?
Conley can play a little better off the ball. What has become clear over this extended and Carl Anthony Towns absence is kind of what we knew, which is Anthony Edwards is the future. He's the guy by next season who should just have the ball in his hands. And you need a different kind of point guard next to him. A 3-and-D point guard, sort of. Somebody who can handle the ball a little, be a secondary creator. But I think more and more that's got to be Edwards' show. And if it's Edwards' show, that's not where D'Angelo Russell's game fits. That's not where his ego fits. So I think that that's, in that sense, exactly. It's an adult in the room and somebody who's willing to maybe more accept the role handed him, as opposed to sometimes what you get from Russell, who believes he should be the guy taking that last shot.
I'm trying to figure out just how broken Minnesota is at this point. I was watching parts of that Denver game, and you just don't see a first half triple double very often. And Nikola Jokic put it on him, and Denver beat him by 34 points. And Gobert had 0 points in that game. I know he's dealing with some things, but as you mentioned, Karl Anthony Towns, he's got an extended out injury. So, is Minnesota really trying to win this year, or are they kind of licking their chops or licking their wounds a little bit?
I think there's a lot of wound licking, and their problem, and this sort of helps with that, is that they are boxed in. Conley is, I believe, under contract for one more year after this.
Yeah, at $24 million.
But he would be movable as a veteran, expendable player more than Russell. I think that they just feel very boxed in right now, where they gave up, I forget the exact details. Was it 47 draft picks?
Yeah.
It was so ridiculous what they surrendered. So now they're just stuck. And there really wasn't a plan B. And so now they're trying to create one on the fly by, hey, we'll get Conley, but then we can move Conley and maybe we can get some draft assets. And, we'll see what goes where. But they've got to find a way to shift, because this simply hasn't worked for them, and they were convinced that Towns and Conley could play next to each other. Towns and Gobert could play next to each other, and this was going to be smooth and beautiful. And it has not been.
There's probably going to be some other parts involved in this before it's all said and done. One that might be in play is a Lakers player by the name of Austin Reeves. What do you know about him? Averaging 10 points a game.
He has been one of their surprises of the season, kind of one of those nice finds through training camp and the draft where you didn't – it's who? It's Caruso was sort of one of these guys for them. They've had a few others where you're like – and you see him up around the league where you're like, that guy is – well, you've got one there. Walker Kessler? What the – oh, hey, he's really good. Austin Reeves, a nice, solid rotation wing player, like a two-guard. Like, he knocked down shots, plays hard on defense, gets out in transition – and has worked well for the Lakers because he has got some chemistry with LeBron James. He's kind of one of those guys who gets to the right spot, and if you get to the right spot, LeBron finds you, man. Like, LeBron's really good at distributing the ball, and part of we could talk about part of his greatness is that he empowers a lot of – Booby Gibson looked good next to him. He's empowered a lot of okay players to look really good, man.
So, Kurt, I want you to – walk the Utah Jazz fans through a buyout, because if Westbrook does end up here in Salt Lake City, help them understand what a buyout means and why a team would buy out Westbrook.
You don't really want or necessarily need him on the roster playing every night. I don't think he increases your chances of winning dramatically, to put it politely. The buyout is simply, because he's in the last year of his deal, it is what it sounds like. Usually, you get a discount from the player of some amount of money. It kind of varies by situation, how badly they want to be bought out and not be there. You get a discount of a few million that doesn't count on the books. Like, Westbrook still goes on your books for $47.1 million. He is prorated. I have no idea what the prorated number is for him right now. But you would be able to knock a million off that because he thinks he'll be able to sign for the minimum somewhere and make that somewhere else. And so you save $1 million and you don't have to deal with him. You have to deal with him on the books technically, but you don't have to deal with him in the locker room and finding a roster spot for him and finding minutes. And I'm not sure that Will Hardy and crew are just, what's the point? I don't think Russell Westbrook's getting you a lot of wins or making things go smoothly.
In a weird way, Jazz may have hurt themselves on the Minnesota pick next year because Conley certainly comes in and probably helps them a little bit more than D'Angelo Russell and may hurt what the Jazz have in terms of that first-round pick next year.
Maybe a little. They're so dysfunctional right now that thing could still implode, and there's a lot of questions about what direction they go. Conley, like you said, Conley could help stabilize them a little bit, but their problems are fairly grand and might include coaching and some other changes, so maybe it's not that big a risk, and it might also just simply be worth it. If what we're seeing now in Utah, I mean, you know, Markkanen will be around and Kessler will be around, but you're rebuilding, and that 2027 Laker pick could be incredibly valuable, and you might just be willing to sacrifice it, even if it means Minnesota's a little better next year.
So I guess that's the angle that Jazz fans are probably standing by watching, because they've enjoyed this team and they've definitely been looking at a team that's borderline playoff, probably a play-in spot, 9 or 10, but an opportunity with a little postseason action. And now they're watching the Utah Jazz move out some potential good pieces that were a part of this. Help them understand the big picture here, Kurt.
If you stuck with this team and tried to build with the core of this team and just tweaked it and thought you could win, then you're stuck in the middle. You are a 7, 8, 9, 10 seed. You are a play-in team every year. And that's a big – I get the excitement because this has been kind of a fun team. And Lauri Markkanen has been a great story. Man, that's a miserable place to be multiple years in a row. Like, it's not where you're either moving up through that or down through that, but you don't want to be living there, Atlanta Hawks. You don't want to be stuck kind of, I guess they made the conference finals a couple years ago, but you don't want to be stuck in the middle. And I think that was always the plan. And how many, it was 10-3 start, surprised everybody. But I think that was a little bit of illusion and B, not helpful for the long-term plan, which is that this team isn't really good enough as constructed to do much damage. You just kind of be okay. And that's, I don't think that's what, certainly not what Danny Ainge wants, and I'm sure it's not what the ownership wants either.
Kurt Helin joining us right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. Trade deadline coming up tomorrow afternoon. Do you anticipate a lot of fireworks or, kind of a, ho-hum day tomorrow?
I thought a little while ago it was going to be ho-hum, but I could be wrong. Westbrook will be on the move, and I think we'll see. I think there will be some other, Bogdanovich is staying put, but I think it's possible John Collins has moved, and there's going to be a series of smaller trades that go down in some form. There's definitely going to be movement. We'll see. I didn't think we, earlier this morning, I thought we'd seen the biggest, well, I guess, Kyrie's still the biggest move, but I didn't think we were going to see a Westbrook Conley level move again, like something that level of salaries moving around again. So I could be wrong. Maybe John Collins does get moved in a blockbuster in the East.
Really quick, Kurt, tell me how the Dallas Mavericks season ends.
First round exit. Maybe I don't know. Just like, it really depends on matchups. They're going to score a lot of points. And if Kyrie's Kyrie, they're going to be so good on offense. That team's got a ton of shooting. They're going to put up a lot of points, and they can't stop anybody. So it's good for overbetters. It's going to be entertaining. But I don't think they're going to have the defense and versatility to win multiple playoff rounds. But I absolutely think that they can win they could win a series. They're going to be hard to play against. They're just going to score a lot of points. They're going, and then you get to the fun of how much. This is all assuming Kyrie's on relatively good behavior the rest of the season, and then you can play the hey, do you want to re-sign Kyrie game this off season?
Yeah. The Finney Smith loss is going to hurt for sure because certainly you don't see wing defenders like that grow on trees.
No, and they were already 23rd or 24th in the league in defense, and they just gave up their best perimeter defender by far. And that's, like I said, that's just the problem. I think their offense, I think it's going to, I had questions at first, but the more I've thought about it and the more I've talked to people who know more than I, you know, scouts and stuff, I think the Doncic-Irving pairing will be really good on offense. They don't have any rim protection, and now they don't really have any perimeter defenders of note, and that's a bad combination.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your time, Kurt. Thanks for joining us. Always good to catch up, and should be fun over the next 24 hours.
It should be. Take care, man.
You're
the best, Kurt. Thank you.
Kurt Helin right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. Again, just to reiterate what could be going down here, Lakers, Jazz, and Timberwolves, nothing official as of yet. And sounds like there might be some work to be done here in discussions on a three-team trade that would send D'Angelo Russell to Lakers, Russell Westbrook, and draft picks to the Jazz, and Mike Conley to Minnesota. The Jazz would, from what I understand, would most likely buy out Russell Westbrook, send him on his way, and so the Jazz are essentially trading probably a first-round pick, if not multiple picks, for Mike Conley. The question is, and you've brought it up, is what are the protections on that first-round pick? If you can get an unprotected pick for Mike Conley, bam, mm-hmm. Put it on the board. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
Protected, not so much, but we'll see how this thing plays out for sure. Mike's hanging out with us. We're live here at Jimmy's Flowers. And, Mike, you know what? Honestly, there is so many great things going on down here. You need to come down. And you've got so many well-trained just people that have been here forever that it's one thing to say I want a bunch of roses, but you want the bouquet just to flat-out just sing. And that's what you guys do down here. You're artists in putting these things together.
Well, we believe we are. You know, some of our employees are just, they've been here so long they probably wouldn't want to admit it. But we have a couple have been with us over 30 years, and in fact, three or four of them, as a matter of fact. And they're just floor professionals. They've been doing it so long. They know what people want. They just understand the business, and that's really important, I think.
I was looking around, too. You've got an arrangement of flowers that don't die. If you wanted to come in and get flowers that, you know, I'm just looking at the tulips that you've got here, and I think that those are chrysanthemums maybe or pansies, but I see you've got an array of flowers that you could put a bouquet together as well.
Yes, we call them permanent botanicals, and they're very popular. I mean, a lot of people want to have something maybe in a place that they don't want to take care of. You know, maybe it's in a place where fresh flowers won't do really well in their home, or maybe they just want to extend the life of something, have something there for the spring season or the summer season or whatever. So, yeah, we have a full department that can make anything you'd like in any colors. That's something we've done for years, and we continue to do that. That's a big thing for us.
What's a bigger holiday for flowers, Mother's Day or Valentine's Day?
Overall volume, Mother's Day is a little bit larger. Valentine's is a little bit more hectic because it's kind of a
last minute.
Yeah, last minute, and it's a 1 or 2 day thing, where Mother's Day is a little bit more 3 or 4 day. But they're both really big for us, certainly.
So if we have some listeners out there that are hearing this and listening to Jimmy's Flowers, and they're thinking, I don't even know the first thing about flowers, they can just call. You've got thousands of ideas. You've put out hundreds of bouquets and thousands of bouquets that have made women and men smile. You know what to do.
We do. Our people are trained well in that. You know, really, flowers of any kind make people happy. And you know, I'm sure your significant other or whoever you're sending flowers to Valentine's is going to be happy with whatever they get. But we can tailor that to their specific needs or your specific desires, whether it be color, type of flower, type of arrangement. We carry literally thousands of flowers. We sell over 50,000 roses every year. We have every color you can imagine. So we've got everything.
You know, I got a bouquet from you last year that was a household hit. It was amazing. And I remember getting it home, and there was something that caught my mind because it was so dark and ugly outside, and we've had this snow and the slush, and you throw this big bouquet of good-smelling fresh flowers in the house, and it it just feels new. It feels exciting. It's great. Right now is a great time to do it. We've had this white stuff and no color anywhere for a long time.
Yeah, it's a great time to just send flowers for no reason at all, really. But certainly Valentine's Day is a very popular time to send them, and we can liven up someone's day, you bet.
And the great thing is, some guy out there, you know, let's say you got a, you know, some kid in high school trying to impress a girl, or a guy that's, you know, been married 50 years, you know, whether it's, you know, the guy comes in and says, I got $50, help me out, and you can put some together, or a guy's got hundreds of dollars, it doesn't matter, you know, you can arrange things around a budget to really help somebody out.
We can. We sell a lot of single-stem roses at Valentine's Day. We sell things of all price ranges. Somebody wants to come in and spend a lot on a huge bouquet, we can do it for you. If they want to just spend a little because they're going out to dinner or doing some other things, we can take care of you with that as well.
You're the best, Mike.
Yeah, really.
We love being here.
Jimmy'sFlowers.com is the website. We're here in Layton, 2840 North Hillfield Road. Also locations in Ogden and Bountiful as well. But make sure to stop by. The earlier you get here, the better the selection. They can help you out Tuesday morning, but I suggest you get that order in ASAP at Jimmy's Flowers right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Welcome to Cam Miller, Senior Director of College Football Network and NFL Draft for the Pro Football Network. Utah tight end Dalton Kincaid's an incredible story. Has he got NFL written all over him?
He has first 31 picks, in my opinion. If I'm an NFL general manager, I want that guy on my team. You talk about superstar ability. This is a kid with that in spades, and especially as we've seen the tight end grow in importance, everybody wants the next George Kittle. I'm not saying Dalton Kincaid is the next George Kittle. I think he's another player that may transform that tight end position. When you can be a receiver and have elite receiving skills as a tight end and be a three-down tight end, I think you want him on your team, and I think he's absolutely capable of being a first-round player.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The great Ben Anderson is going to join us coming up here in a moment. We'll chat with him, get his thoughts on a potential trade that would send Mike Conley to Minnesota, D'Angelo Russell to Los Angeles, and Russell Westbrook to Utah, as well as a pick or picks. We'll get his thoughts here in just a moment. Before we do that, though, it is a Win Ticket Wednesday. Caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE. We'll give you a pair of tickets to the NBA All-Star Practice at the Huntsman Center during the NBA All-Star Weekend coming up on February 18th. You want those tickets? Be caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. All right, joining us now, you hear him every day from 10 to 12, also Jazz Insider for KSLSports.com. Ben Anderson, kind enough to join us. And Ben, I know you've been on the air a bunch already today, but thanks for joining us. Your initial thoughts on this with the potential of Russell Westbrook and pick or a combination of picks, and there'll probably have to be something else to balance it out before it's all said and done, but what's your early impression on this thing?
This is a deal that's been talked about for a while, not just Russell Westbrook, but with involving D'Angelo Russell. I know the Timberwolves had wanted Mike Conley for a long time, dating back several months now. They've been keeping an eye. They are just terrible closing games, so they need a real true point guard that can step out there and play, and D'Angelo Russell has really been the only piece that would be tradable, but I don't think the Jazz have had a ton of interest in D'Angelo Russell, and honestly, that's dating back to some things that Danny Ainge said about him when he was in Los Angeles and Danny Ainge was in Boston. So that's dating back 7 years now. So it's a deal that's been talked about for a long time. I know Minnesota's been interested in getting a deal done. We know the Lakers really want to improve, and the Jazz want draft stock. So I'm sure that would be the key piece for the Jazz that they're trying to finalize.
Okay, so I know that we are looking at all kinds of possibilities here, but one of the things that was attached to, and I can't remember if it was Shams or if it was Woj, I don't remember, but it was working on draft protections. So, Ben, in your assessment, do you believe whatever the Utah Jazz get back potentially from the Lakers in terms of draft picks will be protected?
Well, if the Lakers trade two picks, the first one, if I understand correctly, has to be unprotected because you can't trade multiple picks from the same team if you don't know if they're going to convey, because then it affects how the next one conveys. So basically you have to guarantee that one of them will hit, which is why only the last Minnesota Timberwolves trade or pick that the Jazz got from the Timberwolves in the Rudy Gobert trade is top five protected, and the first three had to be unprotected. So the Lakers, if I understand correctly, would have to, if they included both their 2027 and 2029 picks, the 2027 pick would probably have to be unprotected, and then you could have whatever protections you want on 2029. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Do you think that the Jazz make this trade for a singular protected 2027 pick?
I don't think so. I think you would want, more draft compensation than that. Ideally, two picks. If it has to be heavily protected in 2029, that's one option. Or you could get a whole slew of second-round picks. So the Lakers just traded a bunch to get Rui Hachimura. So some of those would probably have to come from the Timberwolves, and I just don't know what they have as this is coming down at this moment. I'm not sure what those would be, but they don't have any other first-round picks they could send out. Speaking of the Timberwolves, because the Jazz own them all. So you could potentially loosen up or put in another draft swaps, things like that. But I can't imagine Minnesota wants to send any more draft capital of any kind to Utah. So it would have to be the 2027 pick and then something else from the Lakers, because the Jazz seem to be or have reported or believe that Mike Conley, Jared Vanderbilt, and Malik Beasley are all individually worth a first-round pick. I think some of that was talk, but it's got to be more than just one.
If Westbrook is included to come to the Utah Jazz, will he have more or less points as Derrick Rose in his stop with Utah Jazz?
Yeah, I think it'll be identical. I think he and Derrick Rose will have a very similar career to Utah before they sign somewhere else. He may not even get on a plane to Salt Lake City, depending on what the reporting rules are. The trade has to go down, but then, the Jazz can agree to waive the physical and then buy him out immediately. And I know his number is huge, $47 million, but he's already been paid a lot of that. You don't just get one lump sum at the end of the year. So the Jazz would work out a deal where they would save, a couple of dollars, and he would go elsewhere and get to sign with whichever team, I would imagine, the Eastern Conference would want to sign him and bring him in.
Do you anticipate all that stuff's negotiated before a trade goes down with his agent on what he'd be willing to accept on a buyout?
Yeah, I have to imagine that's been talked about at the very least. Or there's just kind of a general rule of thumb, which says, hey, a guy will take, you just sub out the minimum NBA deal for the remaining of the year for a veteran of his status, because, there are X amount of dollars you have to pay the longer you've been in the NBA. He will take that out of his deal, understanding that the next team that signs him has to pay him that much, so he actually doesn't lose any money.
So, Ben, if we see this trigger get pulled on this trade that's been proposed that's out there swirling, will that be it for the Utah Jazz, or should we brace for more?
That would seem like a big chunk of it. I mean, there's only a few players that have really been talked about, those three, Conley, Beasley, and Vanderbilt. Olynyk's been tossed around a little bit, but then you're talking about, trading four rotation players and a, eight-man rotation for the Jazz. I mean, that would be an enormous shakeup. It's possible, but you're going to have to get a lot back, and I'm sure if the Jazz could get two first-round picks, they may feel comfortable with what they've been able to acquire in season. And Olynyk's not a bad player to have. This year, if you go into the offseason, he's owed hardly anything next year, and if you bring him back, he's still on a cheap deal and can give you starting minutes and seems to be happy to live here. So there's value there, or you could trade him again in the summer. Otherwise, Jordan Clarkson's name has been floated, but weirdly, without any real solid rumors. You hear his name, but you don't hear where he would go or who the Jazz would get back, as opposed to, you know, we've heard a lot of names attached to Conley. We've heard names attached to Beasley. We've heard teams attached to Vanderbilt. You don't even get that much solid info on Jordan Clarkson, which makes me think that more of the rumors are that, that Ryan Smith really likes him and wants him around seem to be more logical.
By the way, I think it's important to note that if this thing went down, I feel pretty confident in saying this was not an easy move to make, in particular for Ryan Smith. I know the relationship with Mike Conley is deep. Like this one, we always go back to the interview we had with Ryan Smith where he said that there's, you know, no amount of pain that we would go through to bring a championship to Salt Lake City. I think this is a painful day in particular for Ryan Smith.
Yep, I agree. I think those are, you know, that's a hard move to make. Mike Conley came in and was a consummate pro. You know, Beasley and Vanderbilt would just kind of be blips on the radar ultimately. And I don't think they were ever designed here to be super long-term, but the Jazz got to test it. If they do end up getting traded, they got to see what they could do. But yeah, I mean, I think Mike Conley is, you know, honestly put together a borderline top 10 Utah Jazz career. There's just not many players who have made an all-star team, made the playoffs 3 years in a row, had the big games that he had, and really was a good player. He was a good soldier living in Salt Lake City, and his family really seemed to embrace it.
All right, Ben, kind of walk all of us through what happens with the Utah Jazz roster, because if you move out Mike Conley and you move out Malik Beasley, and let's say Vanderbilt moves out as well, and then you bring Westbrook in and you buy him out and you basically bring in draft picks, you've got holes that you've got to fill. So what do those holes look like?
Yeah, you would probably need to go out and sign some 10-day guys, which is kind of interesting that Micah Potter's still on the roster. He suffered an elbow injury that's going to keep him out for, you know, at least well through the All-Star break. So I wouldn't be surprised if you waived him, brought in another two-way guy. You could even promote somebody potentially from the G League to come in. But yeah, the Jazz would be short a lot of players. You would have 10-day contracts to come in. You would still have, as your starting point guard, I would imagine Colin Sexton would probably move into the starting rotation to play alongside Jordan Clarkson. You would have Lauri Markkanen and Walker Kessler still out there. I think Olynyk sticks with the roster, so he's still your starting four. And then off the bench, you really do turn the keys over to Talen Horton-Tucker, Nickeil Alexander-Walker potentially, and either of those guys honestly could move into the starting lineup if the Jazz preferred to have Sexton coming off the bench. Ochai Agbaji becomes a featured player as opposed to just kind of the weird second and fourth quarter minutes he gets. I think he starts getting first quarter minutes in place of Malik Beasley. And then maybe you honestly test if Simone Fontecchio can play. I've heard the Jazz actually like Leandro Bolmaro, but he hasn't had an opportunity to play very much just because they're so deep at that position. So clearing out guards and Conley and Beasley could open up opportunities for them to give some of those guys 3 minutes, 4 minutes here of actual rotation time, not just garbage minutes at the end of the game. And then, of course, let's see what happens with Rudy Gay. I know a lot of teams are keeping an eye on him as a buyout candidate. He's not that expensive for the Jazz, and for continuity's sake, they may prefer to keep him around.
Is there any, you know, secondary players that might interest you that could be included in this, like an Austin Reeves or somebody like that?
Yeah, the Jazz could certainly look to get younger, and that could be what they're arguing about. You know, that's how the Jazz ended up with, I think, Walker Kessler in this talk is that the Timberwolves didn't want to give up certain pieces, and the Jazz said, fine, we'll take your first-round pick. And in retrospect, that looks like an enormous mistake. But, yeah, that's how you end up with, you know, I think it's Max Christie or Austin Reeves or some of these other, you know, young players that the Lakers do have. They could potentially end up in Salt Lake City. And, you know, I think Danny Ainge knows the league well. I know he watches a lot of college basketball. He knows and he scouts a lot of these guys before the draft. So there could be other pieces he's been targeting the whole time, along with Justin Zanuck, who draws up most of these deals. So there could absolutely be other players involved at Jazz Land that could be, you know, kind of low-key additions that they like.
Well, Ben, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for joining us on short notice. Great information, not just on the air, but online at kslsports.com. But thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, guys. See you.
That's Ben Anderson every day from 10 to 12 right here on The Zone.
He took Refrigerator Perry as his greatest all-time Super Bowl player in their draft today.
Number one?
Yeah, number one overall.
I don't think he took him number one.
Well, he was somewhere between that and number five. But it was his top five. He took Refrigerator Perry. I think he took – oh, he took – because he got the first pick, so he took Tom Brady, and then I think he went Refrigerator Perry.
Hold on here.
Jake Scott about laughed him off the headset. But I'm with Ben. Everybody loves Refrigerator.
All right. top five best players to ever win a Super Bowl. He went Tom Brady 1, Joe Montana 2, The Fridge 3.
I told you he was in there. Yes.
Deion Sanders 4 and John Elway 5. Jake went Jerry Rice 1, Patrick Mahomes 2, over Walter Payton, over Reggie White, over Emmitt Smith.
Well, Ben's list is obviously incorrect if he put John Elway in the top five. Like, what?
Hey, you shut your
mouth. That's crazy.
Jake got after him a little bit.
Well, Jake doesn't have a refrigerator pick, but, you know, having Mahomes has only won one. What's he doing up there? Maybe on Monday you might be able to have that conversation. But come on. And Reggie White only got one. And even he was on the tail end of his career. Like, Troy Aikman should be ahead of them. Let's see. Who's the...
Jay Novacek.
Jay Novacek I put above Reggie White.
Yeah. Is that who you were thinking?
No, I was thinking of the wide receiver. 88.
Oh, yeah, well...
He's, Michael Irvin?
Michael Irvin, yeah.
Shoot, we just missed Sports Roulette. He was on the roulette wheel today.
Oh, yeah?
Did you hear about him?
Uh-uh. Did he get in trouble?
Oh, he got sent home.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he got booted off the NFL Network broadcast.
Oh, Mike. What did he do?
Well, he apparently harassed a girl in the foyer of the hotel. And he was wasted, drunk, and he didn't remember having a conversation with them. And when they moved him from his room... He was like, why are you doing this? And they said, because you harassed a young woman last night. He goes, no, I didn't. I didn't even talk to anybody. I went right to my room. So they get the film out, and they're like, okay, do you see what you're doing here? Not okay. And the NFL Network said, get out.
Get out. Wow.
So this goes on the pile of four other assaults that he's got.
All right, Hans and Scotty, we'll wrap this thing up. Hand the reins on over to Unrivaled next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
As soon as Patrick Mahomes wins his second Super Bowl and probably his second MVP, then we're talking about a guy who probably enters that discussion about a top five quarterback all time. I think so.
I think he can be up there by the end of his career.
You have to put him in that conversation. Have to put him in the conversation of one of the best all time as soon as he wins this year, because guess what? He's still got a ton of time left. Do you see him slowing down at any point?
What does he do with a ton of time? That's the question.
Oh, the guy is, he's proving that he is going to be an asset for a long time in this league.
What happens when Andy Reid retires?
Oh, suddenly he loses his juju? I don't think so.
The wrong coach in there.
No way. He's going to be good forever, and he's going to be one of the top five all time.
It's Unrivaled. Afternoons from 3 to 6, presented by G2G Bars. Perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. The 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty G.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, in case you're just joining us. Lakers, Jazz, Timberwolves working on, not official and not even confirmed to be done, but working on a trade that would send D'Angelo Russell to Lakers, Russell Westbrook in draft compensation to the Jazz, and Mike Conley to Minnesota. I think it's important to know that this is an ownership group that that they love their dudes. They love this team, and... I think this is probably a tough day for Ryan Smith, because I know he'd gotten really close to Mike Conley over the years, and that is probably not an easy pill for this ownership group to swallow. Some trades are easier than others. This is not an easy trade for this front office, I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, but you brought up that conversation with him that, I guess, what's that been, 5-6 months now?
Yeah, it was the UFC introductory press conference.
He sat down with Scotty and I for 25 minutes, and he said there is no amount of pain we aren't willing to go through in order to get a championship. And I think it really does go back to that point. He'll do whatever he's got to do, and I think he's handed it over to Danny Ainge and said, get us there. You know how to do it.
Just make it happen.
Get us there. And you're right, there are favorites. Owners have favorites, GMs have favorites. It's just a part of the business. You fall in love with guys. But the other part of the business is, you know, you're going to lose them.
Yeah.
And It's time. It's time. I thought Kurt Heelan said it well. I said, Kurt, give us the picture on the long game here. He said, well, the long game is you don't want to sit there and dabble in six or seven.
Stuck in the middle. No good.
He said, this group does not want to be stuck in the middle.
Yep. All right, wrapping up the show, Unrivaled. We'll have more on this. Mike's hanging out with us as we're live here at Jimmy's Flowers. We love this location. We love hanging out here, Mike, because you guys do it right. You treat people right. You respect the fact that there's guys out here that don't know anything about what they're doing in the flower world. They're just like, help me. And you're here to help in their time of need.
You know, we are, Scott. You know, we're not in this to sell something to someone for one Valentine's Day. We've got customers that have been coming back for many, many years because we've taken care of them. And when we get a customer, especially a new one, we hope that we can keep them and develop them into a long-term customer. So,
Scotty, take a whiff of that.
I'm dealing with a cold, and I can still get that in.
Mike just brought up a couple of bouquets and set them out on the table. What flowers are in this, Mike?
That's a very popular Gerber daisy, lilies.
It's the Gerber babies.
No, this is the
flowers.
Oh, is this the Gerber? Is this the Gerber
daisy? Yep.
I hate that Lloyd was accurate in anything.
Usually,
Lloyd said it was a bouquet of Gerber babies, but we knew what he was trying to say. It smells good. These are so beautiful, just multicolors. Is this a typical arrangement that you'd put together for somebody for Valentine's?
We sell a lot of those. You know, it's kind of a newer product for us. We call them our European hand tied bouquets. A lot of people love making a bouquet presentation. It's a little bit more like a presentation sometimes than an arrangement arranged in a vase. And so these are really inexpensive, and they're nice to get, and they
beautiful.
Come in all colors, and they're
and
great
then
to do with.
You've got the all colors one here. This is a kind of a white, almost all white mix.
Yeah, that is our most popular color in that, believe
no
it
kidding.
Or not.
Wow, yeah. That's really cool.
They're the first ones to sell out. People love kind of having that monochromatic look with one or two colors.
That is gorgeous.
You know, and the great thing is, too, a lot of people think Valentine's Day and they think roses. It doesn't necessarily need to be. I mean, you can obviously do the, you know, bouquet of all roses if you want, but there's a lot of things that people can do to kind of broaden your horizons. If you're a guy and you think you have to have roses, that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, we have a lot of unique flowers. That one has a succulent in it, that big flower in the middle.
I see that.
You know, the mystique of flowers sometimes is having something that's a little bit unusual. Whenever we do bouquets that have unusual flowers in it, people are saying, what is that flower? I've never seen that before. And that's part of the mystique of getting an arrangement from us.
Well, you got locations. Obviously, we're here in Layton. You got one in Ogden, 2735 South Washington Boulevard in Bountiful, which is my home away from home, 470 South Main Street. You guys have bailed me out a lot in that Bountiful location. You can also go to jimmysflowers.com, but we can't thank you enough. Obviously, you're here to help any budget. You're here on Tuesday if they need help, but we suggest you get your orders in before Tuesday.
Sooner the better.
Yep.
Definitely. Sooner the better.
Jimmy'sFlowers.com are the three locations, Ogden, Layton, and Bountiful. Unrivaled next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.